Welcome to Songwriter Trists, an intimate podcast that interviews artists about the art of songwriting and find out more about the life behind the songs. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee, your host for this show. Music saved my life, and I want to talk to other songwriters about the power of songwriting, talk about their journey and how they got to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons, and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. For more information on this podcast and the guests, visit songwritertrists.com. All right, welcome to a Songwriter Trist with Saint Bure. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, having you back, actually.
Back part two. Yeah, remix.
You're the first person that I accidentally lost the first recording, so it wasn't meant to be out there. That one was just for us.
That was the secret undercover therapy session just for us.
Yeah, maybe just for you.
Maybe just for me, yeah.
Well, we're going to do it again. So to start with, tell me, who are you and where do you come from?
Yeah, so my name is Josh. I go by Saint Bure. I'm a 25-year-old singer-songwriter who's been born and raised on the Gold Coast, actually. I was just born down in Southport, so super local.
Yeah.
I've been making music, I would say, quite seriously for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated from a Bachelor of Pop Music that I believe is still going on at Griffith University to this day. And that kind of opened me up to a new world of so many genres of music, so many different types of people and walks of life that make and interpret music differently to me, that it kind of gave me a really good groundwork and foundation for all the stuff that I'm doing today. So
yeah, and you've got a really unique sound. I feel like it actually embodies who you are as a person,
which is
really cool. I want to go back to 5 years ago. You said it's about when it started. What was it that happened that you were like, yep, this is what I want to do?
I think music itself had always been kind of, if not in the foreground, in the background of my life, because I've been lucky enough to have like an older brother and cousins and lots of family that have always been very involved in music, but it was never something that was forced upon me. It kind of just the tools were available for me to use. So for my background specifically, I was born in the church, which was a huge part of, I guess, the very first music that I heard was all gospel music. And I have a similar story to artists kind of like Katy Perry, where they say that they didn't really hear what we call secular music till they were a little bit older. So all of my super formative, like toddler to almost teenage years, was purely church music. So I think that is something that I only now realize had had such a big influence on my sound and especially my lyricism. So
It plays a massive role. That was me as well, to a T. I played in churches from a little kid, and you just don't know when you're a child. You don't know what you don't know, and you're only exposed to what is in your immediate environment. Especially when we were kids, there was no such thing as, you know, ask Google. So yeah, it has a massive impact, and it's good to be able to embrace that side of just who you are. Was there something that made you click and go, it's more than just the church music that you're brought up on? And like, do you remember, was there an instrument you were drawn to or an artist that you were inspired by?
Well, my brother was a bit of a drum prodigy, so I think my parents kind of thought it would be the same case with me. And I remember he was like playing drums in the church from the age of 12 with like the band of funk musicians who've been playing their whole life. And they thought it would go that way with me, and I was a bit rhythmically not blessed in that way. So the first instrument that I kind of was drawn to, I'd say, would be the piano, because it was given to me as a present when I was about 12 or 13, right as I was going into high school. And music for me, I think at the core, has always been about songwriting first and foremost. And I would say that I'm, in the industry term, a top liner or a lyricist. And I think all the way up until that point, I had been writing music without realizing, because I was always the kid that would just kind of jot down my thoughts in a book, whether it was like
a journal.
Yeah, like a journal. And then I think I had that kind of epiphany moment when it came, when I had the ability to play music, that I was like, hey, these thoughts and these ramblings and the most inner vulnerable dialogue is music. And it was kind of the missing piece that I think learning the skills to be able to play music kind of gave me that realization that this is what I feel like I'm meant to do.
Yeah. Do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
Oh my God. I feel like I do. When I went to school, I was around a lot of other musicians that kind of, in that time, completed the pieces for me and the parts that I couldn't do myself. Mm. So I feel like the very early incarnations of Saint Bray were probably too brooding and melancholy for someone so young. But I think that that kind of comes with going back to the church with, I guess, being like a really young queer artist that's so unsure of themselves. Mm. A lot of my subconscious was kind of using music as that safe hiding place where I could kind of have those thoughts just be for me and vocalize them in a way that kind of gave me this validation that, yes, I can say this, even if it's to no one, it's in my music. And I didn't even think I realized that's what I was doing in that time. It's only
you
now
you realized
that,
it then too.
No, I don't think I did until I kind of had this hindsight being a little bit older, being like, wow, that was kind of what gave me sanity and what got me through this really long and confusing part of my life. But I think I wouldn't, it's weird to say now, but I wouldn't have it any other way because it's kind of shaped the person that I am. Having music be this like healing place.
It must have been a huge amount of pressure for you being in the church and becoming a queer artist, as you put it, in an environment that probably wasn't that supportive of those emotions and what you were feeling.
Yeah.
And that would have been really difficult to know how to process or express that.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad you had music.
Thank you.
To support you and be with you through all the things that I'm sure you've experienced. Is there a hope in, because it's a big step from going to writing music in your room and using it as a form of healing and expression to going, actually, I think I want to release this so other people can hear it.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that's exactly where I'm at, I think, now in this present moment. My song that I've just released, Hollow, is about this exact conversation that we're having. It's kind of finding a way, being a bit older, going through that process of healing yourself and saying, okay, hey, now how do I reconcile these relationships with people I've had in the church? How do I balance what I've been told my whole life is two opposing ideas, being queer, being having a relationship with God? It's kind of looking, stepping outside of yourself and looking at the big picture and saying, hey, at the end of the day, what I want is healing. I want to rebuild those bridges, and it's kind of about finding the nuance to connect with people who might not agree with you eye to eye. And I think that's kind of something that the world really needs right now. We live in such a polarizing, divisive culture of whether it's political beliefs or identity politics. I think it's just really hard to be in the same room, or it's we kind of, at least online, have created this environment where anything else is the enemy. And I think I've been blessed in a way to have this kind of perspective of growing up in a place where I am kind of the result of a lot of different ideas and a lot of beliefs that might not make a lot of sense to a lot of people. But the end result of Hollow, if I can sum it up really quickly, is kind of choosing forgiveness when you might want revenge as like an initial emotional response to that.
That's amazing.
Thanks.
And I completely agree with you. We can choose every day as individuals. You get to choose and I get to choose whether we fight or we love and accept. And yeah, there is a lot of division out there, but it doesn't mean we have to join in with it.
Exactly.
You know, you get to choose your own path, and you're like, just because you don't agree with someone doesn't mean you can't still be friends. You know, you can't still love someone just because they have a different idea or a different belief or, I think that's kind of like old school, you know.
Yeah.
Just because you have a different belief doesn't mean you have to like want to kill each other.
Yeah.
like you just feel like, okay, well, you know, you like potatoes and I like broccoli, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
let's go have dinner. it really, there's this, I think it would be nicer if people just focused more on themselves and less worrying about other people.
Yeah.
I think Oprah says that, doesn't she?
Who?
Oprah. I think she said, like, self-responsibility, if more people in the world took more self-responsibility, we'd have a much more peaceful world.
Yeah.
And it's like, because the reality is the only person you're responsible for is yourself.
Yeah. And at the end of the day as well, I feel like most people are truly most worried about themselves. And a lot of that conflict is just projection because I think we're such internal beings that then sometimes the negative things we think about other people are just us projecting our own insecurities onto them.
So is.
Because everyone, there's a weird comfort in knowing that everyone to some point is quite insecure or quite inward looking, that it's like, why worry about what other people think when they're probably more worried about themselves anyway?
Yeah, and that's such a big thing for an artist who is a songwriter and a performer. That's a big journey that everyone has to go through in being aware that we all want to be seen and we all want to be heard. Doesn't matter if you're an artist or songwriter, who you are. You could just be in a relationship. You want to be seen and heard. But then there's the other side of when you are seen and heard, what that looks like.
Yeah.
And not everyone is going to love you, but not everyone's going to reject you either. And that's a really sobering thing to think about. But it's important. It's called relationship, and that's what life's all about. Yeah, that's cool. Off topic though. all right. So we're talking about songwriting. Do you have? Is a little bit on topic. Do you have like a goal that you like, or a message that you think about when you're writing your music that you would love for other people to hear and pick up on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think because the way that I write my music, if I'm being completely honest with myself, it's purely for myself. So I think that since I'm not at a place where I have a fan base or a specific group of people that I'm singing to, I think I want people just to take away self-love and self-acceptance from my music, because that's what it's given me. And I think, at the end of the day, that's like all I can hope for, because I made all these songs and all these musings kind of not really with a purpose, because I did take a break from music. I think around back, it was quite close to graduating, around 2016 to 2018. And I kind of needed that time away to find out why I wanted to do music. And it wasn't until I took that break that I realized I am first and foremost a songwriter. And it kind of sounds so cheesy, but it just gives my life meaning and purpose to be able to do that and make those songs, even if they're never released and put out for people to hear. So I think music is just for me, and I want people to, if they can relate, for it to be for them.
Mm. And it is such a gift.
Yeah.
And it is really important work, and it doesn't necessarily manifest in validation all the time. And sometimes what it does for other people you may never know about as an artist. It can be really, like, someone can look at a painting that you painted and it could change the world, but you may never know.
Yeah.
I think we have to have a bit of faith that that's what's happening with as artists, you know, that it's doing something and we don't necessarily know why. It's got to let go of control and just keep being creative and just throwing it out there.
Yeah. On this song as well, I had, for the first time since I've been making music, kind of people that I either haven't seen in years or just complete strangers who are quite young kind of message me on Instagram and be like, hey, I heard your song. I read like your interview. You have no idea how much like this resonated with me. I went through the exact same thing.
Amazing.
Whether it's like really young queer kids who haven't come out to their families yet, who are in the church. And like that kind of blew my mind, because that I never was expecting that to happen now. And I kind of, it was really humbling to feel like almost like a sense of responsibility. Like, I'm not a qualified therapist, but all you can say to people is thank you. And like, I'm glad that you in some way have felt connected to my story and that you feel like you're seen.
Yeah.
Because you're not alone, and someone has lived this exact same experience before you, and they're probably going to keep living it, unfortunately. But in the meantime, we have music to heal.
Yeah. And you have each other. And I'm so glad that you are sharing openly and vulnerably, because it's not an easy thing to do.
No.
But to know that it's helping other people out there who aren't ready to do that yet, oh, gives me chills. That's amazing. Like, that's what music's all about. It's about connecting us in life experiences, like you said, that aren't individual. They're not unique. We all go through struggles and pain and difficulty, and when one person stands up and sings about it or shares about it somehow, it allows us to realize that we're not alone in that pain, and we are normal human beings, which is probably an oxymoron because there's no such thing as a normal human being, is there?
No, it's all relative.
Yeah, it's so relative, and it is what you make it. What about co-writing or working with other people on your music?
Yeah.
I can't remember this question. What are you
saying? Yeah. No, we definitely talked about this. I would say, like, the mainstream songwriting production process can be quite isolated, ironically, for me, because I tend to use technology as a tool to connect with people who I might not necessarily be able to work with otherwise.
Yeah.
Like on this record I'm working on at the moment, a lot of my producers are either in places like Belgium and Germany or LA, which is crazy that
we
live in a time where we can work with people in different time zones and different days of the week. But
how did you connect with those people?
A lot through social media. So through either they've put up really cool music on their Spotify or on YouTube and I found them and just reached out, or they've reached out to me. Yeah. The positive part of it though is that I think because my writing process is so personal and scary and vulnerable, it allows me to kind of have a setup where it's just me in my bedroom with my microphone and I can laugh or I can cry and make those mistakes.
Yeah.
But I think collaboration and songwriting is such an important part of where our industry is now that I'm kind of working on getting to a place where I can bring that in a room with another person and let myself be vulnerable.
Yeah. But, and take your time.
Yeah.
Like, it really will happen at the right time for you and anyone who's listening. Like, you don't have to be able to co-write straight away. You have to get comfortable in your ability and then just ease yourself in with people that you're comfortable with.
Exactly.
And friends even, as long as you know that they're going to be supportive, because you do have crazy ideas in co-writes. And it can be scary.
Yeah. I think that's like such a good point. I think having your, for lack of a better word, team to support you, I think it's equally as important to have people who kind of love and support you unconditionally, but also have those people, whether they or not they're the same people, who can kind of keep you grounded and redirect you when things aren't so great.
Yeah.
I definitely have those people in my life and I value their opinion so highly because they can be so brutally honest with me, but with love, and be like, hey, this isn't your best.
Yeah.
And that kind of is what I want, because I know that's like real respect and love, because they're not just gassing me up. They actually want me to be the best I can be. So
yeah, and that can be a really hard thing to find as an artist.
Yeah,
I find that
absolutely
hard as well.
Yeah.
But it can also, not only do you then need to find people that aren't just, oh yeah, that's great all the time, but you need to decipher the people that are giving you feedback. Is it critical feedback or is it productive, like with love, like you said?
Yeah.
Because then, you've got to like filter through the, is that just jealousy or is that you know, is that coming from another place that's not maybe love, or is this coming from a place that is actually because they want the best for me and they see more potential, they see bigger things in me and they're trying to draw it out. And that's the people that, for me, I want to have around me for sure.
Yeah, and it can take a lot of time to find those people.
And everything happens in the right time, I reckon. Yeah. What's the best advice that you have ever been given?
I think it's another, something sounds so cliche until you kind of hear them for the first time and understand them.
Yeah.
But mine would be like, just don't be afraid to make mistakes, because the moment that you let that fear stop you, you've kind of already defeated yourself.
Mm.
And there's like a phrase that I like called like the inner saboteur, where I guess we have these, everyone has those voices in their head that tell them like, that is self-defeating and just tell you that you can't do it. But I think as a writer, you have to trust and believe that your ideas are good, because that's why you are a songwriter. You said a couple of times in this podcast that it's such a gift, and it's like you need to know that that comes from you and that is a part of you, that if it's if it is a gift, then you can't. What's the point in hiding it? You can't be ashamed of it. Just,
I love it. Yeah. What's the point in hiding it? It's a gift. You gotta pull it out of the box and play with it.
Yeah, it's like. To someone gave you a Christmas gift to just be like, no, I'm kind of embarrassed. Like, it's for you. It's for you to share with yourself and with the world.
Yeah, and use it. And I love it. Someone else said, don't be afraid to sound stupid or something. But it's like, you never know what might come out of your mouth. It may not be the hook of the song or the title or whatever, but it might lead to another idea that is.
Yeah.
You know, it might just be the fertilizer that sprouts some great idea. So yeah, I think for me anyway, as a songwriter, I'm always aware, I'm always ears open. And as soon as something, like I'm a big chatterbox if you can't tell, but as soon as something sparks and I hear something and it kind of like, I don't know what it is about, because my ears are always open, but sometimes someone will say something or I'll say something and in my head I'm going, ooh, that's a song.
Yeah.
I think that's the voice you got to listen to. If this is your gift and you're a songwriter in your day-to-day life, chatting with friends, meeting people, doing whatever, and you hear that voice go, oh, that's a song, write it down quick because you'll forget.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I love it.
Thank you.
What about your gift? What about advice you would give to a new songwriter or someone just starting out?
I think it goes back to that whole build your team idea.
Yeah.
I think you have to kind of not be afraid to put yourself in environments. Ironically, coming from me, which this is something I struggle with, so I'm also talking to myself right now. You have to put yourself around people who might not necessarily do music the same way you do, and kind of find what you bring to the table and find out how to fill that table. So I know for myself that I like to kind of be able to speak the language of a producer and understand all those little jargon and terms. But what I love to do is write melodies and hooks and lyrics.
Mm.
And I know if I want the song to be the best it can be, I kind of have to bring people to the table who might not have the skills that I have. And I think it's that kind of that collaboration and that rubbing together of two different ideas or two parts that kind of complete each other. That's really beautiful, harmonious songwriting. And it's kind of like playing music live.
Mm.
It's like not one person can be a, I'm sure there's people out there with their loop pedals, but it's pretty hard to be a one-man band. But
so
I think it's beautiful when you kind of complete the set. So find people and play with people and experiment.
Build relationships,
yeah. Connect.
I think that's a big thing for me. I found a lot of freedom when I finally accepted that I didn't have to do everything on my own.
Yes.
And I don't even know why I thought I had to do, you know, like just growing up, you know, you go to the toilet and you start making your own lunchbox and there's this joy in being independent and starting to do things on your own. And I think that's probably for me where it came from, but it just never stopped. It's like I just thought I had to do everything by myself.
I'm the same.
And yeah, just getting permission to work with other people, it'll always be better. Like two or more people coming together to work on the same project is just, you know, will blow your mind at what you can achieve. Yeah, that's cool.
And that's the last bit of advice. Leave your ego at the door.
Yeah. You're the first person to say that.
Oh, really?
So funny. But that's such a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who needs an ego? Literally does nothing for anyone. And if you've got one, kick it out. Now I'm going to ask my last question. Do you remember this one? If you could co-write with anyone in the world, living or dead, who would it be and why?
So many. I think at the moment there's so much incredible young talent that's kind of coming out because we have these tools of technology where anyone in their bedroom can kind of be a producer, and I think that's so freaking cool.
Which is where we are right now.
Yeah.
We're in my bedroom studio.
We are. Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of really young artists who I just really respect and want to kind of almost learn from, this makes me sound so old, I'm not old, but kind
you're
of
really,
like
how
this
old
new
are you?
25.
Yeah.
It's like new generation of really like people who kind of push the boundaries. One artist I really love is Charlie XCX, because she's had a really unusual trajectory in her career where she came in as this super mainstream pop star, not that there's anything wrong with that, but has now kind of gone in the complete 180 and is making really cutting edge experimental electronic music with a bunch of different producers under this label called PC Music. And it's kind of interesting how her story says there's no one way to do music, and it doesn't really matter how you enter the industry, you can decide your own story and carve your own path.
I love that.
Yeah.
There is a I've done a few different music business courses this year, and one of the things that a lot of people in the industry, not other artists as much because they tend to get the issue with trying to box yourself, but in the industry they want you to be a genre and they want you to find your sound. Even Spotify, like your sound kind of has to be congruent, otherwise they freak out if you change it too much.
The algorithm,
whatever that godlike thing is. Anyway, but I think I agree with that. It's like, just because, like, just for example, I'm doing country music. Just because I'm doing country music now does not mean that my next lot of music might not be more pop electronic. I've got a hip hop song coming out, you know, like with some other people. But like, do you know what I mean? I think it's more about allowing yourself, especially when you're starting out, just try everything.
Yeah.
Like, what's it going to hurt?
Exactly. You know? Like, and I think the good news is we are, in a lot of ways, moving towards a more genre fluid songwriting style. When you listen to like the charts now, there's kind of through different cultures and sounds, there's all these influences that kind of, it's a melting pot and people kind of just pick whatever they want, which I think is incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think on streaming services, in the way that the industry as a whole works, it definitely tries to make you fit into these boxes, to make you more palatable to whatever mysterious algorithm decides.
I almost get anxiety when I get to that section on any music website where they're like, genre. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
Alternative. Pop alternative.
Pop, country, indie, songwriter. I don't know. All of them. Just all of them. Except for yodeling. I don't do that. That's really cool. So you released Hollow.
Yes.
And have you got anything coming out soon now?
I do.
Working on? Yay. What have you been working on?
So excited to share. Hollow's kind of right in the middle of this greater project I've been working on. I'm not a huge fan of the word like album, mixtape, or EP. It's just a body of work. It's a collection of songs.
How many songs?
Six tracks that I'm wanting to release early 2021 for you who are listening, who might be in the slightly distant future. I do have one next single that's completed that's going to be coming out, and some exciting collaborations with some other artists. So
awesome.
Lots floating in the data clouds.
So you're just super busy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put all of your socials and links and Spotify and all sorts of stuff. I'll put it all on the description of the podcast, and it'll be on the Songwriter Trist website where all of our artists are, with blogs and links to everything. So it should be really easy for anyone who wants to check you out and listen to more of your music and follow some of your new stuff that's coming. Yeah, go check it out, Saint Beret. Is there anything else you would like to say before we finish up?
No, just thank you for having me.
Again.
I missed it on the last one, but I was listening to Ray's music again on the way here, and it's absolutely incredible. So I'm sure you're already listening to her, but if you're not, what are you doing? Check her out.
Thank
you. To give you a plug as well.
Now I'm going red. No, thank you. That's really
You're
sweet.
Welcome.
It's all about supporting each other.
It is. Yeah.
And sharing the love. Yeah. Awesome. Sweet. We're done.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining our Songwriter Trist today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave a review and subscribe. To support the podcast or contact me or our guest, please go to the website songwritertrists.com.